Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is the 26th of January, 2015. Pardon me, we're going through the book of 1 John, and it gives us, you know, there's a absolute pattern that is just, it is completely seen throughout all of Scripture. We get into the New Testament, and it's important to remember that when the New Testament letters were being penned, there wasn't a New Testament written and published. We had the Law and the Prophets. We had the Old Testament, which were the Scriptures. Then these letters were being written by apostles and passed around amongst the believers, those who had come to realize that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And so there was probably a rather large following that would consider themselves to be Jews, Jewish, and there were Gentiles that were brought in, and as there still has been, but they were Jews. They were people who had been basically considered to be of the Jewish faith, as it were, Judaistic beliefs, and then they had realized that their Messiah had come, and they received the Messiah. So they didn't have the New Testament like we have, and we're studying through this, and what it was doing, it was giving instruction to the church, to the body of Christ. And many of them had been religious. It's just the easiest thing to say is they'd been religious. And so they had to learn, okay, what did this new life do? What did this new life in Christ, what did it do? What was different? What things and what attitudes, what actions should we be involved with? And then it was basically pointing towards the commandments that Jesus had given. Now, it's interesting what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. So pretty, it's a summation of the Old Testament commandments, of the Ten Commandments. Not the Levitical laws that were laid out for Levitical priesthood, not the 613 or 14 laws. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. We talked about how you deal, how you approach, how you worship, how you admire and love and revere God, and how you treat and deal with other people. So that's effectively what the Ten Commandments did, and they were summed up. And what happens in this particular book is, piece by piece, John is telling the little children how to behave. Now listen to this. He says, chapter 2, verse 12, he says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Now, it's talking about the relationship between a father and a son. It's talking about the relationship that we're supposed to have between our Heavenly Father and ourselves. Now, by listening to him and doing what he says, we will be blessed. Jesus came, God in human flesh, to tell us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. Now, I think most of us can get the first part of that and go, you know what? I can do that. I may vacillate somewhat, but I can do that. I can honestly, seriously say I can love God, and I want to, and I can, and I know it's possible to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, I may vacillate on that. I may struggle with that. But I know it can be done because I love God. But then we get into the other part, love your neighbors yourself. We have to, right there, what happens is we start making decisions. So I say, okay, who's my neighbor? Yeah. And we start qualifying and quantifying and every other word that fies of who's my neighbor? What does that really mean? And does it mean I actually have to? What if I'm in a tough situation? What if I'm in a tough spot? Ultimately, we're all going to have tough spots. But I want to share this letter from a guy who's celebrating something this month. And celebrating something in an odd way, more of a remembrance of something, but for the reasons we'll see as I read the letter. His name's Martin Greenfield. And he says, 70 years ago, I was in a Nazi concentration camp. Since then, I've seen tyrants and dictators enter and exit the global stage. Yet as the world prepares to mark the 70th anniversary of the Auschwitz liberation, it is perhaps well and right that we reflect on how the Holocaust shocked the moral imagination on a scale the world could scarcely fathom. Why ponder such things? Because for far too many, the Holocaust remains a mystery. A major poll was taken last year, 2014, of 53,000 people, and they found that just 54% had ever heard of the Holocaust. Knowledge of Auschwitz is likely even more limited, particularly among young people. Past surveys have shown that nearly half of Britons had ever heard of Auschwitz, people from Britain. Some school children even thought Auschwitz was a type of beer. Here at home in America, a debate erupted last year when a teenager posted a smiling selfie at Auschwitz. Whatever your opinion on the appropriateness of her actions, I was at least pleased to be reminded that some young Americans still visit the Nazi concentration camp to learn history up close. I too visited Auschwitz as a teenager. It happened to be in 1944. My family and I stood in line before Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi physician known as the Angel of Death, as my mother, grandparents, two sisters, and baby brother were all sent to the left to be burned in Hitler's ovens. My father and I were sent to the right. The first night inside Auschwitz, my father said to me, "We must separate because together we would suffer double. On your own, you will survive," he told me. "You are young and strong, and I know you will survive. If you survive by yourself, you must honor us by living, not by feeling sorry for us. This is what you must do." That was the last time I ever saw my father. I'm grateful for my father's words of grace and guidance. They echo in my heart even still. It's a cruel thing, feeling guilty for surviving. But my father erased any future guilt and replaced it with purpose. It was a gift only a father's wisdom could give. It gave me a reason to go forward and a reason to be, and it still does. Part of heeding my father's words involved replacing the horrors of my Holocaust past with a life spent creating beauty in the form of hand-tailored suits for U.S. presidents, Hollywood films, and the world's most influential men. In fact, my first sewing lesson took place in the Auschwitz concentration camp laundry, when I accidentally ripped the collar of a Nazi soldier's shirt. A guard beat me before a kind older inmate taught me how to sew a simple stitch to repair the torn shirt. It was hardly the ideal tailoring apprenticeship, but it was my first lesson and a skill that became my livelihood. At 86, another part of honoring my father's wishes requires being the voice for the voiceless. Indeed, as parents, educators, and citizens, we must all do our part to help ensure that "never forget" remains much more than a threadbare catchphrase that gathers dust and loses meaning with each passing year. For example, many people are surprised to learn that Auschwitz was actually a complex comprised of three main camps and dozens of satellites. The United States Holocaust Memorial Museum statistics estimate between 1940 and 1945 at least 1.1 million Jews and 200,000 of Hitler's undesirables were sent to the Auschwitz complex. Of those 1.1 million murdered, as I've noticed elsewhere, That number could have been far greater were it not for the courage of the American soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who traveled around the world to defeat a moral darkness that consumed at least 6 million Jewish souls. That's a lesson worth of remembrance. The 70th anniversary of the liberation marks the moment when freedom conquered barbarism through sureness of virtue and strength of will. Sadly, as recent as events reveal, that remains a lesson humanity must learn and relearn from generation to generation. The word Holocaust means sacrifice by fire. May the memory of the millions who were engulfed in the flames, like my family, never be forgotten. Auschwitz is one. There's Dachau, there's Buchenwald, we could name some very famous ones. A lot of people don't even know those names, let alone Auschwitz. And we need to understand that actually happened. Millions of people, until you've actually gone to a Holocaust museum or a Holocaust memorial, which I've been privileged to go to in Israel with my wife and some friends, we need to understand this really happened. And the young people of today do not even understand it. It's been going on forever, where one group of people think that they're better than other people, where one group of people think that they can do things, where one group of people or other groups of people think that they're better than God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. We need to know that no one is above, no one's righteous, no one's good. Look at this. In Genesis 11:4, the people said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. It's all about exalting people and people above other people and basically saying, we don't need God to do that. In their pride, the builders of Babel assumed they could work their way into God's presence and he would accept them on the basis of what they had done. They were wrong then, and people are still wrong like that today. God has said that our righteous acts are like filthy rags, Isaiah 46:6, and there is no one righteous, not even one, Romans 3:10. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. How does one get into heaven? Well, Jesus gave clear instructions. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. And I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. There's many organized religions. All religions are man's organized, rebellious, prideful attempt to get around God's stated will and way and work and word. Instead of arguing with him, we need to come to him through Jesus. Well, throughout this, this is what he says in the last three verses for today's study. Verse 15, chapter 2 of 1 John again, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Very plain here. We cannot place the world and the world's ways above God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. So all the stuff you lust with your eyes, with what you see and you really want, boy, most of us get lost right there. That's where our troubles lie. But our flesh, what our flesh desires, what we desire in a soulish manner, in our mind, will, and emotions, what we desire. We need to understand that. And we cannot love the world. We cannot love the world. The world, why? Verse 17. Last verse for today. The world is passing away. This world is going away. We hear about the climate change. We hear about this big, here's what's weird. Global warming, global warming, global warming. Well, they've realized that was a real ditch. You know, that's not happening. So now they've changed it to climate change. So then it doesn't matter whether it gets warmer or colder. It's a climate change. By the way, we've always had that. It's called seasons. Okay. My goodness, I just can't believe people are this dull as this, but here's the deal. Now they're talking about this snowstorm that's coming across the country into New York. Go get home early today. I don't even know what's happening. I haven't looked at any weather back there. It's almost 50 degrees here. It's supposed to be almost 60 degrees today. So we got super warm here. It's just unbelievable. Here we are in the middle of winter, and they're talking about the worst storm since 1872 in New York. 2 or 3 feet of snow, you know, back the way it used to be 150, 200 years ago. Here's the problem with that. They could never say global warming with that because we're right in the middle of winter and it's going to be colder and more snow than ever. So global warming doesn't work there. So it's really comforting to them that they've changed it to climate change. Then at the same time, in the article in the paper today, or on the news today in the paper, dated myself, on the internet today, it said that there's this huge ice pack that's melting. Okay. We are experiencing climate change. We always have, and we always will. But that's not really what's important. The world is passing away. Entropy is happening. Things go from order to chaos, not chaos to order. Entropy, we're slowly digressing. Our bodies are getting older. Our physical bodies are getting older. We can't move the way we used to when we're young. You have aches and pains that you just didn't do anything. You didn't do anything, and your body starts hurting. It's just because it's wearing out. We might get 100 years out of them by now, 110 maybe. I mean, they used to get, because when we were so much closer to where we were with Adam and Eve, the two people that hadn't sinned yet, who were going to live forever, well, the progression of events has been, you know, a cumulative exponential over the years, but people used to live 600, 700, 800, 900 years. Not anymore. Not anymore. You realize that most of us that consider other people old right now, they would have been babes. Guy that's 97 years old, just kind of starting to get with it, kind of starting to understand about life and being able to take on some personal responsibility because he's going to live another 600 years. Okay. It says the world is passing away. Now look at what happens. As it does, and when we're, let's say we're all, it's all over. Those that are going to heaven go to heaven. Those that aren't are separated from God for all eternity. Look what it says here. The lusts are passing away. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, it's passing away. You're not going to satisfy your eyes and your flesh and all that stuff, even though it's fun and nice and great now, whether it's, you know, great booze, great food, great sex, great drugs, whatever people like to do to their flesh and their eyes, what they see and possessing things and buying things and being wealthy, that's all passing away. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. The one who does the will of God abides forever. So what we need to do is be really careful to pay attention to what God says. And I looked at it with a father, and here's a young man, 12 years old, in a prison camp. He watches his entire family, except for his father, die. They're gone. He never sees them again. And his father gives him some words of wisdom. Be strong and live. Live life. Don't hate and hold on and be tortured, but live life and live it, you know, victoriously. The way we can live victoriously today, folks, the only way to live victoriously today and any time, is in Christ, doing what the Father says, and we need to come to Christ. There's only one way. There's only one way. It's through Jesus. We just saw that. It's through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, John 14:6. It's the only way. The only way. And just because people are saying, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean anything. Just because they say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean that they're saved. People can say the God words and say the Jesus words, but it's about where is our heart. This world's passing away, and all the lusts are passing away, and all the stuff that pleases your flesh and your eyes is passing away, and your pride is meaningless. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. You want eternal life? Abide with God. You want to live forever? Abide with God. You want to do what you're supposed to do? Listen to God. We're going to see a little bit more tomorrow about a plan or a creed or a delineation, because we'll be able to see it written down, of our conduct and what we should actually do and how, you know, more in depth what we should do. We'll see that tomorrow. But as it is, here we are, just a couple of days away from the end of the first month of 2015. We're moving right into February, just like that. It's pretty shocking that it's going that quick. But guess what? It's time for us to pay attention. It has been time, but I suggest you get on board with Jesus, because it's kind of like in the days of Noah. It's coming down, this whole place, and I would suggest that the only place to be is in the arms of Christ. You'll be blessed. We'll see you guys tomorrow.